Peter B. Collins, midnight to 3 a.m. weekdays. On demand anytime at green960.com.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
This hour, we're going to explore a mystery related to the stolen election of 2004. It happened in Ohio, the state where I grew up. And as you probably know, every Friday we devote the last hour of our program to election integrity issues. Our go-to guy is Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. And we're going to him in just a moment. If you are listening to Friday's program, either live, delayed, or on an iPod, you heard us talking with Harvey Wasserman and others about Mike Connell. Mike Connell was Karl Rove and George W. Bush's computer guru, an information technology expert, and also a very committed pro-life activist. And as we were speaking about Mike Connell on Friday evening, California time, it was about the same time that Mike Connell, an experienced pilot, crashed his plane and died on an approach near Akron, Ohio. Now, Brad, Friday, we said goodbye to you for the year. We traded emails and said, yeah, that does it. We'll talk to you in January. And once again, we need you, Brad.
Yes, I'm not off the hook that easy.
No, the news has broken, and it is quite a stunning story, particularly in its implications for whether or not we'll find out the truth about what happened in Ohio in 2004.
Yeah, it's a remarkable story. When I first saw it late Friday night, actually before I saw it, Emily Levy of Velvet Revolution saw it first and let me know. You know, she had the same reaction I did. Are we talking about the same Mike Connell here? You know, it's a pretty familiar name. And at first, he was not identified necessarily as this IT guru, the high-tech Forrest Gump, as he's been described by the attorneys in the Ohio case. And then, sure enough, it was him. And he was returning back from D.C. To his home in Ohio on Friday. And at this point, the cause of the crash, the official cause of the crash, if you will, is still unknown.
Yeah.
But he was returning back from D.C., where he was having meetings, also unknown exactly why he was in D.C. at that time.
Mm-hmm. And there's been some awful reporting out there and some decent reporting in the corporate media. There's one television station in Cleveland, and I've got the story. If there's time, we'll play it a little bit later this hour. But there's been also some terrible reporting that simply refers to conspiracy theorists in the blogs about Mike Connell. Now, let's dispose of conspiracy theories and talk about what we do know and what we do know to be factual. Mike Connell worked for many years for Bush and Rove, and he set up critical websites, including GWB43.com, which we believe is where many of the emails that Karl Rove sent from the White House that he did not want to be discoverable were either sent or received.
Mm-hmm.
There are theories that the missing emails related to the U.S. attorney scandal were on that server or one like it, but not on the official White House server. So there are key issues. We also know, and I'd like you to take the narrative here, that Mike Connell was a key player with Secretary of State Ken Blackwell on the critical election night tabulation of the Ohio vote count in 2004.
Well, that's right. He ran the website servers that reported the numbers as they were coming out from the various counties on behalf of the state of Ohio for then Secretary of State J. Kenneth Blackwell. Now, at the same time, Connell was also working on George W. Bush's 2004 campaign, had created his website, had created it also in 2000. And as a report, I believe it was the report you mentioned out of Cleveland today, mentioned that he was given $800,000 by George W. Bush in 2004 for that campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Not completely sure where that money went to, but $800,000. And at the same time, he's running the website that the entire world is looking at on election night in Ohio, reporting the results of that race, which then mysteriously moved from Columbus, Ohio, down to Chattanooga, Tennessee, where his servers are located, sometime after midnight. And after this move is made and the numbers come back up, lo and behold, George W. Bush is now beating John Kerry in the state of Ohio.
By 118,000, that was the final official tally. And the forensic study done by Richard Hayes Phillips indicates that the reverse is true, that Kerry won, and Phillips' estimate is by as much as 180,000 votes. So that's quite a swing. And the other key factor here is the disparity between the exit polls before they were adjusted, scrubbed, if you call it that, and the official tally. Because we know that the exit polls showed Kerry winning Ohio by, I think, about 4 points. Am I right?
I think it was about 3 points for Kerry.
Okay.
In Ohio.
Uh-huh. And, of course, the result came out like 4 points, 4.5 points away from that.
Right.
So that is a significant swing. And that was the swing that the analyst at the University of Pennsylvania described as statistically improbable by an incredible degree. I don't remember how many decimal points he used.
Yeah. Well, that's right. That was Steve Freeman. Now, indeed, you know, you mentioned the bad reporting out there and sort of smearing this off as a conspiracy theory or something. Here's the problem. You know, at some point, discussion about actual criminal conspiracies became something you weren't supposed to listen to. I'm not sure how to discuss this matter unless we discuss it in terms of a conspiracy theory, because, in fact, that is the criminal case that's being brought forward, that's being put forward by the Ohio attorney Cliff Arnbeck. He's claiming a wide conspiracy here to rig elections in Ohio in 04 and now elsewhere, all by Karl Rove.
And Cliff Arnbeck will be joining us at the half hour, so we're going to get his commentary directly, but go right ahead.
Yeah, well, and indeed, you know, a federal judge has looked at the information in this case, and the reasons that Arnbeck was wanting to bring in Connell to testify in this case, and he lifted the stay on this, you know, long-term election fraud case that had been going on in Ohio, and specifically gave permission to depose Mike Connell as well as others, which could include Karl Rove, as this conspiracy case, and that's actually what it is, moves forward. Now, the interesting note here, well, among many, actually, is that Mike Connell is said to have been threatened by Karl Rove, according to tipsters. And, in fact, Arnbeck had written to Mukasey, and I'll let him talk about the response he received or lack thereof. He had written to the Attorney General Mukasey asking for protection of Connell, though he was, you know, very close to the Bushies and loyal, in fact, has said that he's very loyal to the Bush family. We had reason to believe that he was ready to talk about what went on in 2004. And then these threats came from Karl Rove to Connell and his wife, who seems to have really known nothing about what was going on out there in Ohio and elsewhere with Connell's businesses, despite the fact that her name was on so many of these businesses, as our colleague Larissa Alexandrovna has reported.
Yeah, that's right. That her name is Heather, and Larissa went public after the death was announced and said, "I rarely do this, but given that Mike Connell has died, I'm going to expose that he was a source. And I had met with him. I went to their house. I met with Heather." And so she did have some interesting insight there. And it appeared that he was a man who was wrestling with his loyalties to the Bush family and his deep religious values. And apparently, or I can guess, that he did have conflicts over, well, telling the truth.
And indeed, and that squares up with the information that we received from another GOP whistleblower, Stephen Spoonamore, who's a computer security expert who worked with Connell, said that he seemed to, I'm not quoting directly, but was racked with some form of guilt about what had gone on, was interested in talking. Had Connell had bought into this entire Bush family and all they stood for because he was a very, very religious man. He was anti-abortion, and he felt that he was, you know, saving babies by supporting the Bush regime. But obviously, something went wrong. He began to have, you know, concerns about his own conscience, it seems. And that is also squares up with the reporting that Larissa did on this story. That's just about where Connell seems to have been when he then went in to testify. And I'll let Cliff in a bit talk about what he said or didn't say during that deposition. Mm-hmm. But he was forced by a federal judge on the day before this year's election. Here we are 4 years later, and Connell was forced to sit down for his deposition the day before the election, and was clearly still struggling with whether he should tell what he knows or not. And the information that he had, that had come to him, those supposed threats from Karl Rove, you know, may have made him reticent about talking about this at all. And then we come up to last Friday night, his plane trip home. He was an accomplished pilot, as you said. He was flying by himself back from D.C. At this point, we don't know the cause of the crash, and we don't know whether it was due to sabotage or not, though that seems to be the rumors, if you will, for the moment out there floating in the blogosphere while we wait for the mainstream media, really, to at least the U.S. mainstream media, to jump in and start working on this story. They already have in the UK. The Telegraph did a very good story, actually, on this. I'll be interested to see if the New York Times jumps in. Remember, this is a very highly placed protege of George Bush, Karl Rove, John McCain, and frankly, countless other Republicans. So I'm looking forward to the reporting if it ever comes.
Peter. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. He's got the story at Bradblog, and you can also read about it at Raw Story. That's rawstory.com. And we're going to take a break now. Larissa Alexandrovna has just called in, so we'll get her first-person account of her conversations with Mike and Heather Connell and anything else she would like to add to this developing story. And we will continue. Cliff Arnbeck will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. And if you have questions or comments, why don't you hold them till a little bit later in the hour as we get more of the information out here, and then we'll ask for your reaction. You know our toll-free number. It's 888-5-PETER-B. We'll continue as we discuss the plane accident in Akron on Friday that took the life of Mike Connell and, at least in part, appears to cut off access to important information about the Ohio presidential election of 2004. There's more straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter B. Collins, midnight to 3 a.m. weekdays. On demand anytime at green960.com.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're devoting this hour to a discussion of the airplane crash that took the life of Mike Connell, a man who is holding a lot of information about how the Republicans ran the election of 2004 and how we came up with George W. Bush as the winner, particularly in the state of Ohio. And joining us now, along with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, is Raw Stories Manager of Investigative Reporting, Larissa Alexandrovna. Larissa, it's great to talk with you again. How are you doing today?
I'm good. It's good to talk to you as well. Thank you.
And this is a powerful story, and I want to direct people to your blog at largely. It's simply ATLARGELY at largely.com. You did a tremendous job of critiquing some of the initial media coverage of this incident, and there have been a couple of good reports on television. You have one of those posted up at your website right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to delve into your contact with Mike and Heather Connell, and to the extent you'd like to tell us, how worried were they about the threats that they had received? And you and others have cited that twice in recent weeks, Mike Connell scrubbed flights in his private plane because as he did the pre-flight check, he discovered problems that could have been some sort of malicious tampering.
Right. As to your first question, I don't want to get into too much of the meetings and what was discussed and what was not, simply because we're not done with our investigation yet.
Okay.
But I can tell you that my sense was that they were worried, and that separately from the information that was being brought by Attorney Cliff Armbeck to the attention of the DOJ, there appears to have been some confirmation from the attorneys representing Mr. Connell, because they requested that any testimony relating to the alleged threats be sealed.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself, if there are no threats, what are you sealing? So there's that, and my understanding is that whatever threats he was getting that he was conveying to his lawyers was separate from what was coming in also through Cliff Armbeck's office. And then according to Channel 19 News in Cleveland, and I, as you noted, I posted that up, they apparently located yet another source, also apparently who had warned Connell not to fly in his plane. So right now it looks like there's three separate streams of threats in which the threats are coming in. And my understanding is there was concern. I think Heather Connell, however, was really left out of the loop a lot of, about a lot of this by her husband.
Yeah, and Brad had commented that she's on the books as co-owner. And, Brad, weren't there actually two different companies, and she ran one and he ran the other?
There was actually a lot of companies involved one way or another. And I think that, actually, Larissa may be able to confirm, I think she was the full owner of at least one of those companies, wasn't she, Larissa?
She and another gentleman, a lobbyist. He's a lobbyist. God, what is his name? I'm sorry, his name escapes me right now. They were both listed on New Media. In terms of paper, on paper, she was the owner of everything. And when I asked her about that, her response was that, you know, she's a stay-at-home mom. She's got four kids, and that her husband would ever leave her, she wanted 50%. And then I said, but you're the only one on these. Mm-hmm. I mean, there isn't like 50-50. Your husband's nowhere on these contracts, these documents. And she was sort of shocked by this.
Mm-hmm.
But there are quite a few companies, and some of them appear to be on paper separate companies, but they're in fact being run out of the same office.
Mm-hmm.
New Media and GovTech are, in fact, in different offices. But when I was there and I went to the New Media offices, that was sort of strange to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because here you have a highly, highly, highly well-placed organization, a lot of contacts, making a lot of money, and the office was in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't even have windows. It was like the morgue. I thought, this is very bizarre.
Larissa, about 40 seconds till our break. Anything you'd like to add here briefly that hasn't been covered in the corporate media so far?
Well, nothing's been covered in the corporate media.
Well, we don't have all day.
Well, at least in America, anyway. What do I want to add? I think that the people should really understand that regardless of whether this was an accident or not, the important thing here is that the allegations are surrounding him and his involvement with the White House. This must be pursued. And I don't want, as much as I want the crash site investigated, I don't want people to chase that fully and forget why that's important.
All right. Larissa, we will follow your work at rawstory.com and get in touch with us whenever you have something breaking. Great to talk to you, and happy holidays to you and Kyle.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Brad, stay with us. We'll continue. Cliff Arnbeck will join us next.
Peter B. Collins, midnight to 3 a.m. weekdays. On demand anytime at green960.com.